Well, hello there, friends, and welcome back to Understanding the Text, where we take the scriptures line by line, verse by verse, thought by thought, paragraph by paragraph, and really work through what is being said in God's Word. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week, we covered Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. This week, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. Now, think about this with me for a moment. Would you like to, say, sit down for a moment, for an afternoon, having a cup of coffee with your favorite author? You've read his books. You have all kinds of questions that you would ask him about those books, how he got there, why he wrote them, what he wrote in specific characters' lives, and why he did it. Now, that's exactly what we're going to see in the text before us. Here in Mark chapter 1, we finally get to hear Jesus teach for the first time, or at least the people do, his disciples do. The author of creation literally steps into the creation, and he begins to interact with those that were created and begins to answer their questions that they have from the books of the scriptures. So really, as we work through this main idea, let's realize this. This portion of Mark chapter 1 sets the tone for the rest of the book of Mark. We've seen Jesus being baptized. We've seen him tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. We've most recently heard him call and commission his first four disciples, Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And now, he's going to demonstrate his authority to his new disciples. We're going to see Jesus' authority in the way that he teaches. We're going to see that the spiritual realm, the angelic and the demonic, submit to Jesus' authority. And they will see that the people, the first time that they see the Creator speak, they will marvel at his authority because it's going to be something that they've never seen or heard before. We'll see next week that the natural realm submits to Jesus' authority, and then we're going to hear that the news is beginning to spread like wildfire about Jesus, this teacher who teaches with and does miraculous things with the authority that no one but God himself gave him. So if you haven't done so already, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and I will read verses 21 through 27. Mark 1, 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as one of the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God," rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, this man, and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority, and he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this word. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us. You would show us the supernatural authority that Jesus has. When the Creator steps into the creation, he is on the scene and the world begins to change because Jesus is there. Father, I don't know where all these that are going to listen to this are, but you do. And I just ask that you would meet them there. You would encourage their hearts. You would give them a deeper understanding of the person and the work of Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the world. Be kind to us and speak to us from your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So there we are. We are in Mark chapter 1, and we are really going to now begin to dig into the ministry of Jesus himself, the creator in the flesh, the God-man stepping into creation 2,000 years ago, and there in this synagogue, the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, this isn't the actual synagogue that Jesus stepped in. This was a rebuilt synagogue, but the synagogue that we see in the picture here is built on the foundation of the synagogue that Jesus is teaching in Capernaum in Mark chapter 1. As you go to Israel, if you have the chance to do so, or if you haven't already done so, you can go to Capernaum and you can go stand in this synagogue right here. And on the edge of the synagogue, just behind where this picture is being taken, there is a little pit dug, and there are dark stones underneath the white foundation stones. And this shows us that this was the synagogue, the place where the people, the Jews, worshiped in Capernaum. And so when Mark tells us in Mark 1:21 that they went into Capernaum and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, Jesus stood on the stones that are below these white stones here. And he taught right there. He cast out a demon right there. The Lord and Savior of the earth came to creation, interacted with creation, and changed the world, the future from that point forward. So let's hear what Mark has to say. Let's really dive into this. It says there, verse 21, that he was teaching. So Mark doesn't tell us what he was teaching. Mark doesn't tell us anything about the text that he was teaching. It just simply says he was teaching. Now, we know that it's the Sabbath and he's in the synagogue. Now, the Sabbath would be from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And this would be a time where the Jews from all around, specifically Capernaum, would come in and they would worship. And think of it, for lack of better terms, as the weekly church service, the worship service of the Jews. So there they are. They're in Capernaum. They're in the synagogue. And the synagogue is set up quite a bit differently than a church because there's only one in each town. And the teacher would stand in the midst and the people would be on the outside. So Jesus would have his audience all around him, on all sides. And so as he's teaching, he might go from one side to the next side and back and forth and interact it with and engage with every single person who is sitting around the edges of that synagogue. And he historically would probably have the leader of the synagogue open up a scroll. There would be a specific passage of scripture that they would be teaching from. And here we have Jesus, as is commanded by the Ten Commandments, to worship the Lord on the Sabbath with the people that he created, that he knit together, and he's teaching them the very words that he ordained to be written down for them and for us. Friends, this is mind-boggling to me that Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, dives into creation and begins to interact with creation, and he teaches them. He teaches them, and they immediately recognize that something is different. This is not just a normal rabbi. This teacher teaches with authority that no one that they've ever heard before teaches with. They're astounded by the authority that Jesus is teaching with. The words that he is speaking are the very words of God describing God's word to them. I mean, it's amazing to think through these things. Jesus teaching with authority there in Capernaum, in the synagogue. It probably overwhelmed his disciples that he just called maybe days earlier, from the seashore, the Sea of Galilee, there in Peter's hometown, Capernaum, the place where they would find their home base, Peter's home just 100 yards away from this synagogue historically. And Jesus is there teaching with authority. Now, I want to describe to you something. That word authority simply means the original stuff or out of the original. And it comes with the same root word as the word author. And really, Mark means that Jesus taught about life with original authority rather than derived authority. He didn't just clarify something that they already knew or simply interpret the scriptures. No, Jesus was teaching as the author of creation and the author of the word. He had ultimate authority, and the people noticed it, and they were astounded or dumbfounded at this. I mean, it was like this opening illustration that I brought forth, you sitting down with the author of your favorite book and asking them the questions, picking their brain of why they did what they did, why they wrote what they wrote, why the story went the way that the story went. Now, the people in the synagogue at the time in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus is teaching, they don't necessarily know that this is God incarnate at this time, but they notice that something is different. And Jesus' fame begins to spread. By the end of chapter 1, everywhere, all around Capernaum, all around the Sea of Galilee, had heard about this man who teaches with authority, and they wanted to come see and hear for themselves. This Jesus. But this is just the very first verse of the text that we're in. Verse 22 says this, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Amazing things were happening. Hearts were being softened. John the Baptist had prepared the way, and here we have the Son of God teaching. Verse 23 says this, "And immediately, as he is even teaching the word here, there was in their synagogue," this one here, the synagogue at Capernaum, "a man with an unclean spirit." Now, this is fascinating. It shows us exactly Satan's motives. Great things are happening. Hearts are being pricked. Consciences are being pricked. Hearts are being renewed here in Capernaum because of the teaching of Jesus with authority that they've never heard before. Amazing things are happening, and Satan hates it. And so what is he going to do? He's going to throw in a distraction. So immediately, as the truth is being taught, Jesus is speaking these words, and out of nowhere comes a man into the synagogue with an unclean spirit. This man is possessed by a demon. A demon has come into him and indwelt him and is possessing him to do things and say things that are not normal. Now, remember, friends, the evil one has a fourfold plan, and it's to distract, delude, deface, and destroy. He wants to distract you from different things. He wants to delude the truth. He wants to deceive you of all that's happening. And he ultimately wants to destroy you. And that's what he's doing in this man's life. And that's what he's trying to do with this interaction with the people in the synagogue here in Capernaum. He's trying to take the focus off of Jesus, take the focus off of worshiping God, distract the people, and bring in chaos. And let's hear what the man says. Immediately, he comes into the synagogue, and verse 24 says this, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Friends, this is earth-shattering. The people had probably known this man. They probably knew that there was something different about him. They might have assumed that he had an unclean spirit. Now, those assumptions are absolutely clarified. This man is possessed by a demon, and he begins speaking in a horrible tone, at the top of his lungs, screaming at the God-man, Jesus, this one who is teaching with authority in the midst of the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he calls him by name, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he probably uses his full name and his title because he wants to have some sort of authority over him. But there's no authority that this demon is going to have over Jesus. Jesus is the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. If you want to understand the deity of Jesus, just read what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. There is a sevenfold deity of Christ right there for you to see. And this is who this demon is interacting with: Jesus, God in the flesh, the authority. And he says, have you come to destroy us? Which is an intriguing question. But we know just the opposite is true. No, no, no. Jesus isn't come to destroy humanity. He has come to save humanity. He's come to be the ransom for many. He's come to be the propitiation for sin. He's come to take away the sins of the world, not to destroy, to rescue, and to save. And then he says there, verse 24, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Wow. The people thought it. They knew that this teacher was different. He was teaching with authority like they'd never heard before. And there's the answer right before them. This is the Holy One of God. He's anointed. Do they know that maybe that this was clearly God in the flesh? Maybe not. They might have thought that he was just specially anointed like a prophet. And that he was. He was truly a prophet. He taught prophetically multiple different times. And we know he was a true prophet because his teachings came true. All of them will one day come true. But there in the synagogue in Capernaum on that day, we see a clash of good and evil, of righteousness and unrighteousness, all right before their eyes because Jesus is teaching the truth and Satan hates it. And what does Jesus do? It says, verse 25, but after he's called out by this demon-possessed man, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent, come out of him. Do you hear the stern yet compassionate voice that Jesus uses with this demon and this demonized man? Be silent, come out of him. Verse 26, there's an immediate response. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, making one final, disastrous, distracting, delusional scene, came out of him. Why? Because Jesus commands with authority, and creation has to obey him. He commands that the demon comes out of the man, and immediately it convulses him, trying to kill him, and it comes out because Jesus has authority. Verse 27 says this, and they, that is the people in the synagogue who were listening to Jesus's teaching and watching these things unfold, they were all amazed. So they questioned even among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. These people were watching intently to see what was going to go on. They were interested about who this new teacher in town was, this rabbi Jesus from Nazareth. And they were given their answer. He is one who teaches with authority, and he is one who even commands unclean spirits, and they obey him. And their next question is this: what is this? What's going on? They had a face-to-face personal interaction with their creator, and they left changed. Because you can't have an interaction with God and not be changed. You're either going to be hardened more in your heart, or you're going to be softened. You're going to repent and turn and be more conformed to the image of Jesus. You can't interact with God face-to-face and not be changed. These people were changed. They questioned among themselves, who is this guy at first? And then they really questioned, what's different about him? He teaches with authority. He casts out demons with authority. There is something absolutely different about him. They were at a crossroads, just like you might be at a crossroads. What are you going to do with Jesus? Will you believe in him? Take him at his word that he is the Savior. And believe in him and receive his perfect righteousness and be saved, having been given eternal life? Or will you turn and say, this guy's just a good teacher, or he's just a mythological figure, and walk away harder than when you were to begin with? What will you do with Jesus? You're hearing his word taught. You're understanding more and more his character and what he does and who he is. What are you going to do with him? And for those of us that are saved, this should just confirm more deeply the reality of who Jesus is. He is God. He is the creator. He does love you. He did save you, and he is sustaining you, giving you the grace to endure moment by moment, day by day, to persevere in this broken, dark world. He's proving himself again to be sure, trustworthy, and righteous. Worship him. Follow him. And obey him. Friends, I'm so thankful to spend even just a few minutes with you working through this text. I pray that you walk away from this interaction with Jesus changed, worshiping him more fully. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this word. Lord, the people 2,000 years ago in Capernaum had their first interaction with Jesus, and they were changed. Moment by moment, day by day, we get to interact with you, and you change us. You conform us more closely to your image. You sanctify us. You strengthen our faith because of your faithfulness, because of your consistency. Lord, help us to worship you more fully and completely today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, friends, it was great to be with you. Tune in next time where we'll continue working through the Book of Mark.